Welcome to Lost and Starting Over with Linda Ballesteros. Death, sickness, unemployment, sadness, depression, divorce. Do you feel like you're alone in any of this? Well, you're not. Together we can find a way out. Get ready for Lost and Starting Over, a show on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Linda Ballesteros.
Hey folks, welcome to Lost and Starting Over. This is Linda Ballesteros. I appreciate you spending some time with me today. As I always say, time is that one commodity that you can't get back. So when someone spends some time with you, be sure to honor them and acknowledge that that's a piece of their life that they just can't get back again. And here on Lost and Starting Over, I always say that I don't want to discount the loss. But many times the losses are very similar, whether it is through divorce, whether it is through loss of financial security, whether it is loss of a job. Many times the loss is the loss, but it's how we start over that we can all learn from each other and maybe take some of those practices and put them into our life and help us from getting unstuck, so to speak, and be able to move on. And that's exactly what we're talking about today with Lisa Copeland. Lisa is known all over the world as an expert in dating over 50. She's an Amazon best-selling author. She also is a regular Huffington Post contributor. That's a very, very great thing to be able to say. Lisa helps women over 50 find love again. And like I mentioned, whether it is through divorce or whether it is through death of a spouse, we struggle with many of the same things as we move out there. So please help me in welcoming Lisa Copeland. Hey, Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hi, Linda. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, Lisa, you were one of the first names that I thought of when I started putting my show together, Lost and Starting Over, because losing a relationship is a big crisis in someone's life, and there is grief that goes along with that. And then there's so many unknowns out there in what do I do next? Now, Lisa, what I have found is that many times as an expert, we go into that field because we've experienced that. Does that apply to you?
Yes. Yes, it very much does. I've been divorced twice. I've been in different relationships. But when I came out of my two marriages, I can remember how that was. My first marriage was the children of my father. I still had a child at home, a minor child. So it wasn't as hard to adjust. But once she left the nest, it was hard. Here you're having dinner with someone every night. You're going out every weekend. You have someone to talk with every day. And all of a sudden, you have this huge void. And I remember when it first happened, I asked my friends, I said, could I just come and stay at your house and sit in your living room and read a book if I need to, just to be around people? It was because it was really scary to suddenly have to rebuild a new life.
And that's a really good point, because sometimes the relationship is not necessarily a marriage, but sometimes the relationship it's not the marriage that you're missing. It's you're missing that person that you spent so much time with, that you had the routine every morning, whether you put the coffee on and sit down and pulled up your email and chatted about what was on Yahoo News. It's those small things that, for me, I find that I really miss, because now I've got to create a new routine. And Lisa, I don't always know how to do that. It's tough to just jump out and say, okay, I'm going to create a whole new world. It's totally different, you know?
Yes. Well, yeah, it's different. It's scary. And especially if you have been with someone for quite a while, even if it's a year, you've developed a new routine and now you have to develop a new one. So do you want some ideas on what to do?
Oh, my goodness, Lisa. Yes, I've got my pen in hand.
Okay. The best thing you can do, I tell women, make a list of every single girlfriend you know. And the reason you want to do that when you're not at a moment where you want to be doing something is because that's when you can think. Because if you're like, I really want to go to dinner with someone or I really want to go out on Saturday, you can't think because your thinking is focused on what you want to be doing. So you can't think of people. So you make a single friends list. Make a married friends list too. They're available like sometimes on weekends or for lunches. You know, for lunches on weekends, you want to do that as well. That's the first place to start. And then refer to that list. Also ask your friends if they know anyone single because our friends don't necessarily orbit in our world totally. They have their own different orbits. So you may not know all their friends, and they may have someone that's single. After my first marriage ended, a friend of mine mutually fixed up this other woman and I, and this was like 17 years ago, and we're still friends to this day. So it's really important, especially when you're single, to have single girlfriends because married friends are very loving and they want to be there for you, but they're not in your shoes. They really don't know what it's like. And they'll say things to you like, you're such a great catch. I know you're going to find someone or someone's going to have you within months from now. And it's not true. You know, they mean well, but it's, I've had clients tell me the same statement over and over again, and my friends did too. And then when you don't, it makes you feel like a failure when you're not. So cultivate those single friends because they know what it's like. Also, they can be your safety net when you go out and date and you need to tell someone where you're going and who you're meeting. It's really important that someone know who you're with when you're meeting someone new. The next thing you want to do is you want to start looking at meetup.com, one of the greatest organizations ever for meeting people. And they have all kinds of activities. Find the activities you like and you know, go there and start just hanging out with new people. I have a lot of clients that say to me, I really don't have girlfriends. And I've said to them, you can get them by going to meetups. You don't have to just go to meetup to find a guy. You can go and find a new girlfriend, too, which is really important. So those are the two first steps that you want to take. And then you have to be proactive. You have to go and you have to ask friends, do you want to do something, you know, this night or that night? Because a lot of people won't do that, although they want someone to do it for them. So when you call, they're like thrilled to go out and to do something. So that's how you keep from sitting at home all the time.
Well, and, you know, Lisa, what I found is that once I moved into my new space, my new single space for just myself, and once I got the pictures on the wall and had it decorated, and I didn't have another project, I found myself getting real comfortable just staying at home. And it was a little bit, it was uncomfortable that I wasn't as uncomfortable as I should have been until I realized it and said, oh my goodness, I cannot do that. Because before long, I'll be getting a couple of cats and I'll be the crazy cat woman. So, you know, it is something that you have to, like you said, be proactive and be okay with getting out and being uncomfortable with getting out for a little bit, because in the beginning, it could be uncomfortable, don't you think?
Yes, it can be. The experience of having to ask people to go out that you might not know too, like these new friends you're making, or to approach new people at a meetup, these are all out of your comfort zone. And I think that's one of the biggest things that happens when you become single. You are out of your comfort zone. You have a built-in companion. And it is something you have to be proactive about. And I would actually, you know, set every week where you're going to make some calls to make sure on the weekend that you're going out. That's the longest time for people because during the week they go to work, they can come home, they can just watch TV because they're tired, and so many people do that anyway. But the weekends can be unbelievably long if you don't have family in town, which is very common now because people's children move to other states and even other countries. So you need to make plans, and that's why that singles girlfriend list is going to make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, make plans ahead. You don't have to do it that week. You could say, hey, when are you free? Let's put something on the calendar. And it may be 2 or 3 weeks out, but that's okay. It'll give you something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. Also, think about taking some kind of class on the weekend. If you're into art, maybe check out an art museum, see if they have classes. Or you've got to have something to do every weekend. There's times where you want to just stay home, but that can't be the habit. You want to get in the habit of finding a way to get out every weekend, and it's kind of hard because what are you going to do, go shopping? How much can you shop? Plus, you're still by yourself, and that's why classes, meetups, and making that friends list and asking friends if they want to go somewhere is really, really important.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lisa, everything you're saying, I'm going, yep, I've done that. I've been there. I've done that. And the meetup is absolutely a hidden gem, so to speak, because if somebody out there likes photography, there is going to be a meetup group for photography. So like you said, you don't have to join singles meetups.
No.
You can go out and you can do fun things. Do what you enjoy doing is what I've always said. One of the things that I did, Lisa, is I joined a seniors, because I am a senior, and I joined a senior center and where they offer classes.
Yeah.
And after going a couple of times, I realized that I could volunteer there. So now I'm teaching computer classes at the senior center. So you never know where something like a little Tai Chi class on a Saturday morning can lead to something else and meeting people who are already doing those kind of things. Now, you've talked about, you know, the dating industry and all. It has changed, Lisa. It is not what it used to be.
It's not what it was when we were growing up. No,
not at all. Because now we have those meetup groups. Now we have apps. It's a little overwhelming. Can you kind of guide us through some of that?
For dating, what to do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. Well, the first thing you do want to do is, we didn't talk about this, but you do want to take time to heal. Because if you don't, you're going to end up attracting the exact same relationship you just left because you need to finish it. And you do need to take time to grieve. And I'm not talking about a week. You could take, there's some statistics about how long you should take based on how many years you were married before you go out and date again. I think it's an inner feeling. You don't want to come from a place, go out there and come from a place of fear, like I have nothing to do. And that's why it's so important to create that life that we were talking about earlier. Plus, it brings out the passion inside of you and makes you more attractive to have a life versus being desperate for companionship. That's a huge thing. So you want to take that time to grieve, to heal, to get to know yourself again, because most of us, when we're in a relationship, we are so intertwined that we've really forgotten, what is it that I like? Because you may have done everything that he liked. So it's really important to do that. And then once you've done that healing, then you can go out and start dating. So what's the first thing you want to do? Well, I think the biggest thing, especially for women over 50, is to get a huge understanding of men. Because I teach this all the time. It's one of my favorite things to teach because most of us in this age group, were taught to step on men. We were taught we didn't need men. We were taught that we can do it better than men. And we end up, without realizing it, emasculating men all the time. And that is going to really hurt in dating. So that is the first thing you want to do, is you want to get a really good understanding of who these men are today. Then you need to have a love of yourself, because if you don't love yourself, you can't expect someone else to love you. A lot of times people think, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find my other half. It's not really like that. It's as if, I love to use the analogy of, you're the cake and whoever you find is the icing. They enhance you. They don't complete you. Even though you can balance each other, they don't complete you. You each come as your own self with your own stuff, and the other person should really be able to bring out the best in you and you the best in them. So you need that love of yourself. And then you have to get a clear vision of who you want. Because most of us, I remember when I first started dating, if a guy chose me, I said, sure, I was thrilled. But I got into a 2.5-year relationship back then, not even, I knew that the guy wasn't the right guy. But I didn't want to hurt his feelings. He had chosen me. And as women, we were taught not to hurt anyone's feelings, but we end up sacrificing ourselves is what we do. So then you want to get to an online dating site, and that's the time to be out there dating. Does that give you a pretty good overview?
Well, it does. And, you know, at what point, Lisa, do you know that you're even ready to start dating? Because, you know, you talked about this period of grief, but at what point will we know, okay, I think it's time?
I always found it was an inner thing. You just know. Like I said, as long as you're not coming from fear of being alone, which, as I said, also makes you kind of desperate, you know when you're ready, because you really do want to take some time to get to know yourself again and to reestablish who you are. And then you'll know, oh, you know what? I love my life, and now I want that icing to come on to my cake. It's just an inner knowing.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we've gotten to the point where we know, okay, I'm ready to date again. And what are some of the tips that you can give us about, like, a first date? Do we talk about our exes, or do we even mention that, or are men even interested in how many times we've been married?
That, after I'd been married 2 times, I was like, oh my God, everybody's going to think that there's something wrong with me. But a lot of people have been married 2 and 3 times. So it's okay. Are men interested? Yes and no. Yes, for they just want to get to know you. No, it oftentimes doesn't matter unless you've been married maybe 10 times, and then they may question that. But when you go on a first date, the purpose of that date is to just have fun getting to know someone new and interesting. We have this tendency to look at all our flaws versus our good points. So what we'll do is we'll throw out one of our flaws, and as if it's a challenge, are you still going to like me even though I'm this way? Mm-hmm. And what you do by that is you don't give a man the opportunity to like you for just who you are. That we as women pick ourselves apart. Men either like you or they don't like you, or you don't. It's not even that quite that black and white. It's more of, you might fit the picture of who they want or you don't. You know, and I always tell my clients, don't take rejection personally, because it's really not about you. It's just you didn't fit the picture of who he wants, and we do that to men too. So when your goal is to go on a date and to just have fun meeting someone new and interesting, you want the conversation to be light, and you want to have fun, and you want to flirt. Do you talk about exes? Well, a lot of men in their profiles write, I don't want a drama queen in my life. And what that means is a woman who is not over her ex or constantly complains about her ex. Because men like to fix for us. They really love to fix things, and they can't do that at this point. So it's frustrating to them when you say, my ex isn't paying the child support, or my ex isn't paying me my alimony like he should. He can't do that for you, and it overwhelms him. So when it comes to exes, I always say keep it light and do something like, well, we just grew apart, and we sometimes talk to each other, we don't talk to each other, and what about you? Get it off of yourself. As you get to know someone, you can talk about it. But a first date is really just to keep it light to see if you want to even go on a second date. The biggest mistake people make is going on that first date trying to figure out if he's the one. And that's pretty hard to do.
Now, Lisa, you mentioned that men like to fix things. So if you're on your first date, what is something that you could say that they would feel, oh, I can step in and I can fix this? Because if we're too much of a, I don't know, like an alpha female, then it appears as though we don't need them.
So you're not ready to have them fix anything for you. And for sure, being an alpha female, unless it's a beta male, is going to turn them off. So what you want to do is be in your feminine side. You flirt. You touch his hand and pull back. You know what I mean by that, where you're laughing, you touch and pull back? Does that make sense?
Yes,
touching
absolutely.
His arm or something?
You
let him open the door for you. If he wants to put your coat on, you let him put your coat on. Let him pay. If he asks you out, you can let him pay. He later on, you can work that out. But let a guy pay and always say, thank you, I so appreciate it. Those are the feminine things you can do on a first date. And listen, don't let him talk, though, because sometimes guys get really nervous. Not that I'm saying don't let him talk. Don't let him talk nonstop, because he can go into a monologue from that, from those nerves. And you need to interject, because he's got to come out of there thinking he knows something about you. It's just about conversation. It's I do offer a free gift of my 35 best first date questions. And I always have clients saying to me, what can I ask a man? What would be great to see on the first date? So if you are interested in finding out what those 35 first best date questions are, you can go to findaqualityman.com/radio. Again, that's findaqualityman.com/radio. And these 35 questions are geared to be fun. It's things like, what kind of toys did you play with when you were young? Or what did you do when you were young? History is something we share with men that are close to our age, and it's a great thing to talk about. I remember talking to a guy when I was first dating, and we started talking about when Kennedy was shot, because that was such a huge thing. And I actually caught him in a lie as a result of it, because I said I was in third grade and I had to be by the flagpole for brownies, which they ended up canceling. And he had told me he was 5 years older than me, and so I would have been about 8 or 9. And I said to him, how old were you when Kennedy was shot, or what were you doing when Kennedy was shot? I didn't ask how old you were. I said, what were you doing? He said, I was working. And I'm thinking, 5 years older? He's 13. So he lied by about 10 years. I didn't intend to catch him, but it did.
That is funny. That
but sharing history that way, you can't. And a lot of people do lie about their age.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Lisa, we need to take a real quick commercial break. When we come back, I would love for you to be able to share a success story that you had with maybe one of your clients where you were able to help them to get past this this difficult time. So, folks, stay tuned for more of Lost and Starting Over.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Welcome back to Lost and Starting Over. This is your host, Linda Ballesteros, and I'm here with Lisa Copeland. And we've been talking about getting back into the dating circle and, you know, how we do that, how we identify when we're ready. And Lisa, would you share maybe a success story that you had with a client where you were able to walk them through this time?
Sure. Walk them through the time of when they divorced and then moving forward.
Absolutely.
Sure. I have a client that ended up meeting her guy at a meetup, but when we first started working together, she had to sort of hide herself because her ex was stalking her. So we had to, number one, get her confidence built up. It's huge. Women really come out of marriages not feeling that great about themselves. They have older bodies, and they're very different from when they were at 20. The thing is, no man knows what you look like at 20 until you show him a picture. He only knows where you are today. So he's judging based on that, whereas we're in our heads back to our 20s. So I helped her boost her confidence, and she was very powerful in her job. And I taught her how to really understand men and how to start coming from that feminine side. And I call it the magic of men, because when you understand how to get them to be your hero, they will do anything for you in the world. And we talked a little about that on that first date, about letting them put your coat on if they want to, or letting them open a door, and by thanking them or by asking them for help. Not on the first date, though. You don't ask for help. That's just about having fun. But I taught her how to do that, how to speak the language men speak and can hear. It's not how we talk as women. And then I helped her get a really clear vision of the man that would be the perfect man for her. That doesn't mean he's perfect. It means that he's perfect for her. A lot of women, like I mentioned earlier, they love it when a man chooses them because they don't know how to choose a man. Your power comes from knowing how to lead a man online, like favoring him, or lead a man in real life, like dropping something and he'll talk to you. And that is your job about getting a man to come forward. That's an empowering thing. So I taught her how to recognize her red flags that she'd always walk through, because we have this tendency to date the same guy over and over again, just in different clothes. And it's because we have a type, and everyone goes, oh, he's not my type. Well, here's a big tip. If he was your type, you'd still be with him. So I helped her get out of her regular type and into a different kind of man who could really make her happy, who could cherish her, adore her. And then she knew how to relate to him because we had worked on men. And she couldn't go online because of the stalking thing. So I taught her how to meet men in real life. And she did use meetups. She went to dance meetups. She went to happy hour meetups, and she met a lot of men. And actually, it was a man at a meetup that fixed her up with his friend. But she had the best time at these meetups because she knew how to flirt and how to talk the language that men speak and hear. And she came in shining because she had her confidence back. because you're going out of your comfort zone with all of this. It's not like when we were kids and we hung out with guys and fell in love. Today it's a very proactive way to be, but you have to watch being aggressively proactive in terms of aggressive towards men. And now she is in a great relationship. She's really happy, and she's working out the whole things about relationships, which is a whole different story. But she did it, and it took one other thing. It takes consistency, meaning you have to constantly be out there dating in different ways. I create dating blueprints with women to help them see the different ways and the next thing they can do when something doesn't work. You have to be consistent and you have to be persistent. You have to keep at it. You can take breaks, but you got to go back. And you do need to take breaks because it's a full-time job in some ways. But I teach my clients to get this mindset of having fun versus being on the search. Because when you're on the search, it's not fun. When you're just meeting new people who can turn out to be great friends. At this age, we can have male friends. They don't all have to be love interests. And that's part of what makes it fun. So she's really happy, this client, and doing great.
That's awesome, Lisa, because, you know, so many of the things that you described are things that those of us that find ourselves single all of a sudden, we struggle with, is going out there. How do we go out there? What I found is if I look at it as, because I've networked for my business for years, if I look at it just as a networking opportunity just to get to know each other, it takes out the pressure of feeling like evaluating him as a romantic interest instead of just getting to know him. So it's completely different for me when I look at it as just a networking opportunity.
Yeah, I wouldn't so much look at it as networking for love, but I would look at it more as having fun while looking for love, because that mindset of fun is so important. Whereas the mindset of networking is job oriented, even though you are doing it. There's a lot of mindset shifts that happen when you're doing this. And really, one of the biggest ones is getting out of this, I need to know if he's the one before I put my cup of coffee down on the table. Because a lot of people say, oh, we don't have chemistry. You don't really know. Because for women, men have to be attracted to you the split second they meet you. For women, attraction grows as we get to know someone. We are very blessed to be that way. And you don't want this quick chemistry because it's going to take you out. You want a slow-burning chemistry that creates the connections you need between your heart, the friendship you need to create, and the intimate side you need to create. And hot chemistry is all about sex, literally, not intimacy, sex.
Well, Lisa, before we go any further, would you give the information of how they can get in touch with you if somebody's listening and going, oh, my gosh, Lisa is certainly talking my language. I need that. How would they get to know more about you and whether you can help them?
Oh, thank you. Sure, I'd love to. You can reach out to me at lisa@findaqualityman.com. And you can also go to my website at findaqualityman.com. And there is a contact tab, and in that it says Dear Lisa. And you can always write to me that way to get in touch with me.
Wonderful.
So go to findaqualityman.com or email me at lisa@findaqualityman.com.
And how would they find a copy of you? How would they get a copy of your book?
That is on Amazon. My book is called The Winning Dating Formula for Women Over 50. I've had people read it and even give it to their daughters because the advice is for everyone. And it's a great first step for really seeing the overview and getting some of the techniques down. And if you find that you need help, really reach out, because the thing about having a coach help you is you do get your next step. A lot of women quit. I hear so many women say to me, I went on 5 online dates. I didn't find them. I quit. And you, 5 dates is nothing. I mean, it's really nothing in the big scheme. You may have to go on 40 dates in a year. And you need someone that's going to encourage you, move you forward, give you different ideals. Because when it gets hard, it's easy to say, I'm going to stay home with my cats, like you were talking about
mm-hmm.
earlier.
Definitely. Well, Lisa, we're down to the end of the show, and I have the final question. So just want to make sure, are you ready for those final questions?
Sure.
Okay, the first one is, what one thing has helped you the most when either dealing with your loss or helping others?
The one thing that's helped me the most is to really get in touch with myself again. And it's scary. You know, it's scary to get to know you again and to put yourself out there. But that, I feel, helps the most because you do want to come from a place of living your life passionately again. That does make you glow, like I mentioned before. And that's a major attraction factor. And when we're basing ourselves on how someone thought of us versus how we think of ourselves, that dims us. So you want to get back into how awesome you are. And that is really the best thing to do.
And, you know, Lisa, you mentioned briefly earlier that sometimes we don't even know who we are at the end of a relationship because we knew what we liked to do with that partner, but not really what we like to do now. And our likes today are different than they were when we went into that relationship. So part of it is just figuring out what you like to do.
Definitely. It was really funny. I remember one of the very first dates I went on. I was in my 40s when I first divorced after a 24-year marriage. And I was on a date with a guy, and he says to me, oh, that guy plays on this sports team. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, my ex would love this. And I was not in myself then. You know, I was still had a piece of my ex attached to me where I was thinking of him still instead of thinking, well, that's cool. You know, I'm not into sports, but that's really cool. I automatically attached it to my past.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? It's so easy for us, especially as women, to do that because we're constantly thinking about the other members of our family. So the next question here, Lisa, is how can a friend or a family member help someone who is struggling with a loss? So I know you mentioned earlier how a married girlfriend may not respond in a way that is supportive to you, even though they feel that they are. So if someone's listening and they've been married 30-something years, but they have friends who are either getting divorced or losing their husbands, how can they support them?
Well, the best way they can support them is to make plans with their friend, either go out to lunch with them, go out to dinner with them, because in the very beginning, that friend is struggling with people to be with. And that is really important. And to listen, to encourage, don't paint that pie in the sky thing of, oh, you'll be married in 6 months again. But you can remind them the things you really like about them and the things you think are really awesome about them. Because we forget what they are, especially if you've been in a marriage that is hasn't been so good at the end and no one was saying, oh, you're beautiful, or, oh, my God, I'm so proud of you for how you did this, or we forget. So if you can remind them of some of their best qualities, it's really helpful to them.
Very good point. Good point. The last question is, since loss is something that we all experience, is there anything that we could do better to equip ourselves to handle future loss?
You mean once you've already had a divorce or the loss of a spouse through death?
Well, you know, when you get married, nothing lasts forever. You know, whether it is through divorce or whether it is, through death, there will come a time when that ends. Is there anything that we can do as women to prepare ourselves for being single at some point?
That is a tough question, because what a lot of women do is they protect their hearts. Mm-hmm. And you need your heart to be out there. It's why it's important to heal and get past the anger. And by the way, men are most attracted to your heart. That is what pulls them to you. But to have yourself prepared, I don't know that there is a way to prepare yourself, because a lot of times you don't know this is coming. The best thing you can do is to have a life of your own as well as a life with your partner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is probably the best advice, because if you're so much a part of him and you've forgotten yourself, that is really hard to come back from. I mean, it'll take longer. But if you have things that you love doing, you're still able to do those. So there's a part of you that's continuing to go through, even though that relationship is no longer there. You still have that part of yourself you can continue to bring through, and that is your love of doing whatever it is you love to do.
I think that is great advice, Lisa, because for those women who didn't have a life outside of the marriage, then they do start over. They don't have any friends outside of the relationship that they had with their spouse. So there's always that feeling of void, because if every relationship included him, then you're always going to fill that void no matter who you look at, because you didn't have any relationships that didn't include him. So that's great advice.
Right.
Great, great advice. Lisa, one more time, how can people get in touch with you? And also, would you give the information about the giveaway item that you offered, the 35 best first date questions?
I'd be happy to. So you can get that template, that worksheet of the 35 best first date questions at findaqualityman.com/radio. And to reach out to me, just go to the findaqualityman.com site and look for contact and look for the Dear Lisa. It drops down and you can write to me that way. Or you can just email me at lisa@findaqualityman.com, and it's lisa@findaqualityman.com.
Wonderful. Lisa, again, thanks so much for being on the show today. You've given some great information. I know there's some women out there that feel hopeful again. So I appreciate you taking time to share your knowledge with us.
Oh, thank you, Linda. And I hope they do. You can have love again, even better.
And that's all we hope for, is that, you know, we do find love again. Thanks again, Lisa.
Thank you.
So, folks, you know, there is hope out there for finding love again. Is it going to look like what you had before? Probably not. And you may not want it to look the same. So just be open that if it doesn't look like the love that you had before, know that it's still okay, because to begin with, we're not the people that we were when we fell in love the first time. And it's not even saying that the first love was any less. It's just that this will be different. So it's all about, you know, the starting over. So I'm going to leave you with this quote. You know, I'm always leave you with a quote every time. What's so fascinating and frustrating and great about life is that you're constantly starting over all the time. And I love that. That's by Billy Crystal. And, you know, I love that as well. Despite all the pain that we go through with the loss, I still love the starting over. I love the change. I love the adventure. So if you look at it that way, then, you know, it's all going to be great, because we all start over at some point in our life. Thanks so much for joining me today, folks, and I look forward to having you next time.
This has been an episode of Lost and Starting Over, a weekly show on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Remember that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. We're here to help. Come back next week for another episode of Lost and Starting Over with Linda Ballesteros. Thank you for listening.